Hello, my friends. This is Dr. Beter. Today is February 28, 1982, and this is my AUDIO LETTER No. 72. On the final Sunday evening of last month, January 31, millions of Americans tuned in their TV sets to watch a special movie on NBC. It was a major production, shown in two installments on successive nights. The movie was titled World War III. Viewers were drawn into a snow-swept world of rugged terrain, supposedly in Alaska, at a lonely outpost of the distant early warning radar network. An unidentified blip appeared on the radar screen. As it did so, one crew member, supposedly a Soviet spy, calmly killed all the others, preventing an alert signal to NORAD. The blip turned out to be a Russian transport, which dropped a team of Arctic commandos onto the frozen Alaska wilderness. As the plot unfolded, it turned out that the Russian commandos were there to sabotage the Alaska oil pipeline. They had been sent to Alaska by Kremlin hardliners who thought that they could use the sabotage threat to undo an American grain embargo against Russia. Instead, the plan failed, leading finally to simultaneous orders by both sides for a nuclear first strike. During those two evenings of an imaginary build-up to World War III, a surprisingly realistic atmosphere was created. There were many technical inaccuracies, but they hardly mattered. What did matter was the emotional impact of the movie, and on that level it was very effective. Here in the United States, there is a growing fascination with violence, bloodshed, and war. More and more of our entertainment is built around themes of hostility and destruction. This trend is visible in sports, in music, in literature, in motion pictures, and in television. It seems as if we have been too well off for too long in terms of material things. We have a restless craving for change. My friends, what seems to be happening now in America was expressed long ago by the Spanish writer and philosopher Don Miguel de Unamuno. During the latter part of the 19th century, Unamuno kept a secret and mostly spiritual diary at his workroom in Salamanca, Spain. His last full entry was made in January 1902. 70 years later, the diary was discovered and published, first in Spain and later in an English translation here in America by the Princeton University Press. The Unamuno diary, titled The Tragic Sense of Life in Men and Nations, seems as relevant today as if it were freshly written. Unamuno wrote, and I quote, "Men seek peace, they say, but do they really? They are also said to seek liberty. Not at all. They look for peace in time of war, and for war in time of peace. They seek liberty under tyranny, and tyranny when they are free." Unquote. My friends, these few words of the Spanish philosopher Unamuno seem to describe America today. There has not been a war on American soil except for Pearl Harbor in the memory of any living American, and we have possessed freedom for so long that we take it for granted. So now we are blindly following leaders who are betraying us into the ultimate in both war and tyranny. My three special topics for this AUDIO LETTER are Topic No. 1, Nuclear War Fever and Expanding Secret Warfare. Topic No. 2, The Third Space Shuttle Challenge to Russia. And Topic No. 3, The Shortening Timetable for Nuclear War I. Topic No. 1. Day by day the pitch of war fever is rising steadily here in the United States. Every night on the television news, turmoil in Central America is a leading topic. In El Salvador, a government that continuously violates the human rights of its own people is being propped up by the so-called Reagan administration. The El Salvador situation contains the seeds of another Vietnam, in spite of White House lies to the contrary. Like the ill-fated South Vietnam, El Salvador is riddled with corruption throughout the government and military. In both cases, this situation resulted from CIA tampering with each country's power structure. Two decades ago, America started wading into the Vietnam quagmire by way of secret groups of advisors, so-called, unknown to the American public. And today, the same thing is underway in El Salvador. We're told that there are only a handful of non-combatant advisors there. That, my friends, is a lie. As of now, there are already more than 300 Green Berets in El Salvador, with more on the way. We're also hearing sharp words from the White House directed at Nicaragua. Over 5 years ago, I gave a warning about Russia's rapid progress in gaining influence there. But at that time, America's rulers were trying to save their crumbling secret alliance with the Kremlin, so they said not a word to the public about Nicaragua. Today, the secret alliance is long gone, so today we are hearing years late about Nicaragua. Overseas, too, the clouds of approaching war are growing darker and darker. In the Middle East, Israel is threatening a major invasion of Lebanon, which could not fail to lead to war with Syria. The American Bolshevik Zionist war whirlpool is continuing to spread outward from its source, Israel. 2 months ago, in AUDIO LETTER 70, I gave an alert to watch for new turmoil in Iran to erupt shortly. Now Iran is back in the news, right on schedule. There have been new bombings in Tehran, a reminder of the prospects for civil war there. At the same time, we're hearing reports that the alleged Ayatollah Khomeini is ill and may die soon. Once again, that is a lie as part of the grand plan to manipulate us into war. The real Ayatollah Khomeini was killed and replaced with a double 2 years ago this month, as I reported in AUDIO LETTER 54. When the American Bolshevik war planners here in the United States are ready to play their Iran card in the war buildup, we'll be told that Khomeini has died. United States-connected Bolshevik agents in Iran are poised and ready to stir up civil war there. As the situation worsens, we'll be told that Russia is preparing to turn Iran into another Afghanistan. Already, Chief United States Arms Negotiator Eugene V. Rostow is making statements to help pave the way for all this. Lately, he has been quoted to the effect that Russia can be expected to test us, quote-unquote, over Iran. Once again, America's Bolshevik military planners are preparing to use Iran as one key to their elaborate nuclear first strike plan against Russia. Their military strategy is an updated version of the plan I detailed 3.5 years ago in AUDIO LETTER 37. The determination of the American Bolsheviks here to go to war against Russia is becoming evident in other ways, too. One arena is that of the supposed nuclear arms reduction talks in Geneva. As a grandstand play, the entity President Reagan has proposed the so-called zero option to eliminate all nuclear weapons in Europe. It sounds good, but it has no substance. In the actual negotiations to figure out how to carry out this plan, the United States has made no practical proposals at all. In response, the Russians have made two counterproposals during recent weeks. One would begin by freezing nuclear weapons in Europe. That starting point may not be ideal, my friends, but at least it's clear-cut and possible to do. Washington's response was to ridicule the idea. The other Russian proposal was made just a few days ago. It's for both sides to completely halt all manufacture and testing of all nuclear weapons as a starting point for general disarmament.